Okay, the line has trickled to a slow speed, so we're going to get started. One quick announcement to remind you all of. Photographs of the speakers are with their permission. Photographs of the audience, not allowed. If we find you doing it, you will be removed. And with that, since posts and rule of.
Hello. Okay, let's see. Just a couple of things before we start. I'm going to try and speak into the mic the whole time, but it's kind of, you know, maybe do it like this. Like that. Okay, let's see. Okay, before we begin, most of the stuff you can find at that URL over there. That's just for... You know, if we don't get through all of this, I think we would, because we've got a double session, so there shouldn't be a problem. But if you want to write that down, that's where you can find the tool that we'll be showing today. Then also at Amsterdam, Black at Amsterdam, we actually made a promise that we would release a web application scanner that is also available for download at the URL on the screen. In terms of time considerations, There's a lot that we must cover. We're basically going to go through the presentation, and then afterwards we're going to do a bit of a live demo. We're having issues with the wireless at the moment, but hopefully by that time it should be sorted out. So then we can go through a bit of live demo on this thing. Just something to start off with. You know, there's a lot of shows that you can go see here in Vegas. I've heard that... you know, Zumanity is quite good, and Elton John, and Celine Dion, and Dan Kaminsky. So, this is a presentation. There won't be any drinking on the stage, it's not a show. Okay. So basically, let me give you an introduction. Let me just quickly, like briefly, tell you about SensePost. We're a company of about 15 people. In South Africa, we do external, internal assessments, call it penetration testing. We've done it for the last 5 years. We've been talking at Black Hat for the last 4 years in DEF CON. And in our work, what we basically do, amongst other things, is we break into networks. We train as well. We do training at Black Hat. We've trained a record amount of people this year at Black Hat. And we train them using, we basically tell them about a methodology that we use to break into networks from the internet. This is not for internal, it's from over the internet. And so we're pretty sure that our methodology kind of works. It seems to be working. We've seen the insides of more internal networks than we kind of care to see. So... what we've done is we've basically said this methodology that we have, let's see how much of this can be automated. So the idea was to basically take every step of the way and check if that step can be automated and to what kind of level of accuracy it can be automated, so that by the end of the day, hopefully most of the stuff that we have to do manually, we can now do automatically. So the talk is really about the methodology itself, which parts of the methodology can be automated, where it really works well and where it really breaks down badly, and when it breaks down badly, why it actually breaks down badly. And at the end, we're going to quickly talk about some implications that this tool will have for, you know, the more mediocre pen testers out there, because I guess there's a couple of those. Okay, so in order to automate something, if you want to automate something, you need to code it, right? You need to be able to write it down and code it. And to code it, you need to have some kind of algorithm. And in order to have an algorithm, you need to really, really understand what it is that you're trying to do. I find a lot of people that starting to write code for something that they don't understand yet. So the idea is never really that the coding should take a lot of the time, the idea would be that understanding the process that you're trying to do would be taking the time. And having done hundreds and hundreds of assessments, we kind of know what it is that we want to do. It's not just a question of coding it. With anything that you automate, if you can write it down on a piece of paper in a kind of a flow chart, and you know exactly what it is that you're writing down, and the flow chart works, then you can code it, right? Then it's just a question of saying, we have to take this stuff and then write it in code. The problem comes in with automation is when there's exceptions. So situation might be, we can do this in this case, but you know, one out of 1,000 times, the result is going to look a little bit different. And if you still want to automate it, you need to make sure that you're catching that exception. So as soon as, and you will see this during the talk, as soon as there's exceptions, and as soon as there's something that we don't really understand how it's working, or we have to make, we have to see how many different exceptions there are and have to write a piece of code or a code path for all of those different exceptions, it becomes very, very difficult to do. Okay, now, the trade-off there is that if you have something that works 99.9% of the time and it's going to take you a year to code the code path for the exception, then you kind of live with it and you say, it's okay, we can live with this exception, we know that it occurs, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, we can maybe fix it manually afterwards. So there's a couple of weird perceptions in the industry today, and you will find it at this conference. It would be the best place to find that kind of weird perception. And if you talk to anyone, just about anyone in this conference, they would tell you that Unix is good and Windows is bad, right? And then afterwards, you should make a kind of sheep noise because, you know, if everybody says Windows is good, Unix is good and Windows is bad, then it must be, right? You will also see that a lot of people say that the problem with Windows is that we have this GUI apps that are running on Windows. And with GUI apps, you can't really do a thing because, you know, it's a kind of a black box and you don't have the flexibility that you have with Unix tools. What I'm saying is it really depends on who's writing that GUI application, because you can still have a GUI application and still have flexibility, the same kind of flexibility that you would have under Unix. I don't want to go into this too much because I'm thinking people are going to assault me after this. I can see angry faces in the crowd. Okay, but there's really a perception out there that says if something is a GUI application, and I guess that's the fault that a lot of people that write applications is doing, is saying as soon as we stick a GUI on top of this thing, we need to dumb the application down because we think that people that are using GUI tools are stupid, right? And so because we're now catering for a crowd of people that's stupid, we need to have our GUI really point and click and go, and you know, and it's really not the case. You can still build a GUI that is very flexible and that has lots of potential to play with if you assume that your users are not stupid, right? And it's something that we've done in the tool that I'm going to show you. We've basically written the tool in such a way that everything that's input and output goes into a text box. So at any time, what you can do is you can, you know, select the whole text box and copy it into your Unix system and do your whole grep and sed and awk and all the nice things that we like about Unix. You don't have to export it in some kind of a weird format and try to, you know, convert it into text, and then you can work with it. The other thing is that the text boxes are hot, which means if you make a change in that text box, that's a change that you've made to your data set, right? You don't have to write some kind of a SQL statement in order to update the stuff somewhere within a database. That's totally databaseless. Right. Now, the tool's name is called BD Blah, right? Yeah, BD Blah, as in blah, 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 BD Blah. And the tool that we've written is really used for doing large-scale assessments. Now, just a quick note on assessment. If you're putting your domain in this tool, then this tool is doing an assessment. If you're putting someone else's domain in this tool, then you're doing an attack. So an attack and an assessment is kind of, you know, it really, when I'm doing this at Black Hat, I'm saying this is an assessment tool. And when I'm doing it at DEF CON, I can tell you that you can also use it as an attack tool, right? Now it's built to actually look, to do assessments, okay, on very large networks. The problem for demoing this thing at a conference like this is that SensePost does not have a very large network. Our clients, they have large networks. But they won't appreciate it if we start showing their data on the screen at DEF CON, right? So what we're doing here is we're going to do some passive work, which is totally passive. We're not sending any packets to the network. Well, not a lot. It's not an attack at all. No, generally, it's not you'll see, it's not like we're attacking anything. But we're going to do some passive work against just the IBM DNS space, and we're going to do some passive work against Playboy, just because I thought, you know, if we get any results, it might be interesting to verify it. And then when we go active, we're going to look at the SensePost network, even if it's small. And keep in mind that, you know, it's a small network. You can do the same thing on a large network. And when we really go into attacking boxes and owning them, we'll be having a VMware server that we look at. Now, the problem with this stuff is there's a lot of risk in doing this live, okay, because networks change all the time, and there might just be a situation that when we did the scan yesterday, everything was cool, but today there's a vulnerability on the machine. So we're not going to do it. Well, we might afterwards do some stuff live. We'll see how it goes in terms of time as well. But when we do stuff live, you will know that we either have permission of the owners of that network, or it's on our own network, right? So if there's any press in this room, I don't know if there's any press, please, after this talk, please don't write an article that says, on stage, SensePost attacked IBM and owned the network, because that is not the case, okay? We're not going to even try to do that. Okay, so what we've done is, in the things that in the pieces of demo that we have here, we've basically taken some video clips of that screen captures and put it into a video. All of it is exactly the way that it works, and there's no trickery involved. However, sometimes we've paused the actual screen capture because, you know, when you're doing a reverse scan on a Class B, that's going to take a while, and I don't want you to sit here and just look at the screen for half an hour seeing how we're doing a reverse scan on a Class B. Okay, so for that stuff, we've paused it, and it's kind of time-lapse. But the rest of the stuff is absolutely real. There's no image manipulation done anyway. Right, so with that out of the way, let's have a look and see what our external methodology looks like. Now, the people, can I just see in the class here, who's been on any of our bootcamp classes at Black Hat? Some hands? Okay, great stuff. Now, if you're on the bootcamp class at Black Hat, you will know this methodology quite well. I'm not going to go into it too much because, you know, that's what the classes are there for. But basically, it boils down to this. We start doing a footprint. From the footprint, we go on to a fingerprint. From there, we do targeting of systems that we would like to attack. We then do vulnerability discovery, and the last step is we actually exploit those vulnerabilities to do penetration testing on the host on the network itself. Now, all of these little blocks now break down into a whole lot of other sets of blocks. So we're going to start with the footprinting. The footprinting can be broken down into six blocks. Okay, the first block is we find the domains. Now, it seems very silly because you might think that if you, let's say, attack, IBM, okay, then the place to start is IBM.com, right? And it's as easy as that. What you might not know is that large organizations can have up to 2,000, 3,000 different domains, and those domains all carry DNS information that's pointing to IP addresses. And those IP addresses sit within net blocks, and those net blocks might contain machines that are vulnerable and that has access to the internal network, or, you know, connected via VPN into the internal network. So the idea is that we find as many domains as we can and then go to the next step, which is to find subdomains within those domains. And again, finding subdomains in a domain might seem at this stage very kind of silly, but you'll see that it's actually quite interesting. We then do forward DNS entries, so we basically look for anything we can find within the forward zone. We get net blocks, we start trimming those net blocks down to size. We might add other net blocks into those net blocks. Once we're done with our net blocks, the first round of definition of our net blocks, we do a DNS reverse scan of that particular block, and that might lead to two things. The first is we might find new domains coming out that we didn't know about. It almost always happens. And we find that maybe our net blocks weren't defined so nicely, so we can redefine our net blocks at that stage if it needs to be redefined, right? And once we have our net blocks nicely tied down, we can go to the next step, which is vitality testing. In vitality testing or vitality scanning, the idea is you sit with a class B. You're going to run an SS scan against a class B? I don't think so, right? The idea there is to find machines that are alive within a big network space so that we can do targeting on it in the next step and decide which of those machines within that big piece of space is interesting to attack. Now, this footprinting methodology, these six blocks that are here can now be broken down into more blocks. Okay, it's like Russian dolls? You keep taking out the dolls, it's the same thing over here. Okay, so just to give you an overview of how this whole thing sits together, I've made this movie. Okay, I've made this movie using Visio and Word. So it's a little bit sucky, I know, but yeah. So we start with a main domain. From that domain, we get subdomains. From the subdomains, we start doing forward lookups. That's pointing to IP addresses, right? Those are the little arrows at the end. From that, we start our first round of net block definitions. It might be one IP.